The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The El Conservador Radio Show is sponsored by the Federation for American Immigration Reform and George Rodriguez on 930 AM, The Answer.
Time for the El Conservador Radio Show with George Rodriguez. George is a constitutional conservative who loves to expose fake news and liberals. Be a part of the show. Call 210-308-8867. And now, El Conservador, George Rodriguez.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio, deep in the heart of South Texas. Welcome to our show, El Conservador. Welcome, my friends, on this Saturday, March 23rd, 2024. We've got a packed show as usual, my friends. Got lots of things to talk about. So much has been happening with SB 4, the Texas state law, as well as illegal aliens rushing the border. Rushing the border in El Paso. We're going to talk about that. We've got the ongoing situation of more illegal aliens being caught, criminals being caught, even a Hezbollah illegal alien that has been caught. I mean, my friends, I don't know how the heck we are supposed to feel comfortable and safe when we've got people like Joe Biden and Mayorkas at the helm. How the heck are we supposed to? I mean, talk about people who are anti-American. It's so obvious. So anyway, we've got a packed show. I want to start off by thanking our sponsor, FAIR, the Federation for American Immigration Reform. You want to know anything about what's going on with immigration, as far as controlled immigration, immigration that makes sense, as well as the border crisis. Go to fairus.org, support the Federation for American Immigration Reform. They do a great job in defending and protecting us at the borders, my friends, and in Washington, D.C. That's where they really, really do the good job of defending us. So anyway, I want to thank them. Let me tell you real quick who our guests are. We've got, first of all, Mr. Chris Hayek, who is with the Immigration Reform Law Institute in Washington, D.C. Chris is going to be giving us an update of this, of what the Supreme Court has been doing with SB 4, the Texas illegal anti-immigration law. It's on, it's off. He's going to tell us exactly where we're at. It was recorded on Wednesday, on Tuesday. When Monday it was done, it was the court had said yes. On Tuesday, the court said a lower court said, "Well, all right, we'll take it back, but we say no." So he's gonna explain to you what's going on. We then have Dr. Mike Vickers, who is a South Texas rancher. He's going to be talking to us about what's going on in South Texas, how SB 4 would affect them, and the good that he sees coming out of it. We also have Mr. Mark Meckler. Mark Meckler is the founder and president of the Convention of States. We're very, very happy to have him on the show. And then our final guest on our show is Ms. Sabine Darden Coulter, who is an angel mom. You're going to be here. You're going to want to hear about her because her son, my friends, her son was a victim of an illegal alien. Her son was killed by an illegal alien. At the same time, Sabine was born and raised in Germany and immigrated properly. You're going to want to hear what she's got to say about her experience as an immigrant versus the illegal aliens that are coming across. So, my friends, without further ado, let's go to our first guest, Mr. Chris Hayek. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. And my friends, I've got our good friend, Mr. Chris Hayek, with the Immigration Reform Law Institute in D.C. I had to get him on because we don't know, or at least I don't know, what is going on with the Texas SB4 law that one court says one thing and then another court says another. And in the meantime, the local liberal news is running with their own version of the story. So let's turn to Chris and see if he can help us understand what's going on. Chris, thank you very much for taking time to be with us, buddy.
Sure.
All right. Can you tell us what is going on with SB4? Now, it is today, Wednesday, March the 20th. So we heard one thing on Monday, and then late last night, apparently something changed. So help us understand what's going on.
Well, what often happens in these cases when a law is enjoined like this is the side that lost appeals the decision, and during the appeal they want the order of the lower court to be suspended. And the Fifth Circuit did suspend it. In this case, SB4 was enjoined by the district court. The Fifth Circuit, which is the appeal court, issued an administrative stay of the law, of the injunction. So they suspended the injunction while they were going to decide whether to suspend it pending the entire appeal to them, which they have not decided yet. And the federal government applied to the Supreme Court, or in particular Justice Alito, who's the justice assigned to the Fifth Circuit, to vacate that suspension. And he did it twice, and which meant that the law stopped going into effect. But then Justice Alito referred the issue to the entire court and changed his mind and said, we're going to let this law go into effect for now, while Texas decides the whether to suspend it pending the appeal.
Okay.
And that was interesting. I can talk more about, why the court might have done that. But then Texas apparently, or the Fifth Circuit, I should say, apparently stung by some things stated in concurrences about how they might be using administrative stays improperly and keeping them going too long and not deciding stays pending appeals soon enough, did two things. They vacated their own administrative stay last night, and this morning they had an argument on the stay pending appeal. So, by the time, any time now, Texas will decide, the Fifth Circuit will decide whether to stay this pending appeal or not. And so it might be that the law goes back into effect very shortly.
So explain to us this thinking that you were going to go into with regards to Justice Alito, because, we look at him as very, very much a conservative and as a friend of law and order, not to mention border security. What is
right,
he thinking?
Right. Well, of course, Supreme Court justices don't think of themselves as being oriented toward policy like that. At least conservative ones don't.
Yes, true.
But he may, I don't know. Often these stay decisions are based on the view the justices have of the merits of the case. It might be that he thought the merits were bad for Texas earlier, but then something changed his mind about those merits, and then now he thinks they're good for Texas. This is possible. He has not explained himself at all, and it's possible that three other conservative members of the court basically agree with him on that and think for some reason that the merits favor Texas. And but two conservatives, Barrett and Kavanaugh, concurred, and in Barrett's concurrence, which Kavanaugh joined, she explains that this has nothing to do with the merits. She just thinks it's the Fifth Circuit's responsibility to police its own operations, and the Supreme Court should not be involved in that. If this isn't all just wishful thinking, there may be four justices who are inclined to rule in favor of Texas, and two more who are, we don't know whether they're in favor or not, and might be persuadable. And of course, Texas would need five. And then, of course, there's the three liberals who wrote dissents and were basing it all on their view of the merits, which they think are just terrible for Texas.
Gotcha.
So it's our particular interest in it as an organization is the war issue, which we've argued before the Fifth Circuit and elsewhere. And we think that even if this law is all preempted or would otherwise be preempted, it's really an exercise of Texas's war power. They're fighting an invasion by the cartels. And the best way to stop the cartels is to have laws like this that will shut down the border. I mean, the law basically says if you, as before says, if you're found to have entered illegally, you will be ordered removed. And if you don't voluntarily leave, you will go to jail for 20 years. There's nobody who's going to be going to jail for 20 years. They're all just going to leave.
Yes. At least that's what we hope.
Yeah. I mean, that no one would say, no, I'm staying. I'll go to jail for 20 years. It is something that would be very effective and thus is a reasonable means of waging war. You don't have to wage war necessarily with,
guns and
other
bullets.
Forms of violence. Yeah.
Guns and bullets.
And, right. And so if the Supreme Court understands that, I mean, this is in the Constitution. If they're invaded and, you know, the cartels are a paramilitary force that occupies a lot of land in the foreign country and controls large parts of Mexico, and they are invading Texas criminally. And if Texas is invaded, the Constitution says they can engage in war. So do you really want courts deciding whether they've been invaded and whether this is a war measure that's appropriate?
Right.
You really want the people of Texas, through their elected representatives, to decide those issues of war and peace. So that's the argument we're making. The arguments about whether it's preempted otherwise get very complicated.
Gotcha.
And that's what they were talking about today at the hearing. So I don't know what the Fifth Circuit's going to do on about suspending this injunction.
Okay. Now, again, in layman's terms, when we say suspending the injunction, what do we mean? What do we mean?
The injunction is temporarily lifted. So the district court said, you can't enforce this law. And then the Fifth Circuit said, that order is not in effect, for some indefinite period of time.
Gotcha.
And while we consider whether to make it not in effect for the entire appeal.
Gotcha.
And yeah.
All right. So at this point, the law is going forward, I guess, at this point, at least today, right now.
No, they lifted the administrative stay.
Gotcha.
They did last night. So it's off again.
It's off again. Gotcha.
And it was only on for a short time.
Yeah.
But they're going to decide the stay pending appeal very soon, I assume. They're rushing to do that, and so it may be back on.
Yeah, well, at least we have not heard at 2:09 p.m. Central Time on Wednesday. We have not heard anything yet.
Right.
Well, interesting. My friend, anything else you want to add before we let you go?
I would say that the interest in this story is somewhat justified. It's pretty widespread, and it's because the Supreme Court really did kind of an extraordinary thing. And it's hard not to speculate about why.
Right. Yes, it is. But the argument for it, for having this law, to me, it's very logical. To me, it's very, very logical. I mean, we just captured, there was just a Colombian, or actually he's a Venezuelan, who was wanted by Colombia for murder and drug trafficking, was caught just north of here in the city of New Braunfels. And heaven knows how many other criminals have been caught either coming across or after they've committed a crime here in town. I mean, it just is... It's insane the way that we're living right now.
Right. The effects of this invasion are terrible. And you're going to get fugitives from justice. And many of them won't be caught.
Yeah. No kidding. All right, my man. Thank you very, very much, folks. We've been speaking with our good friend, Mr. Chris Hayek, with the Immigration Reform Law Institute. Tell him about early before we let you go, buddy.
Early is the only organization in the country dedicated to focusing on border security and better immigration law enforcement. And we're involved in all kinds of cases in that area. And you can learn more about us at our website, irli.org.
Gotcha, buddy. Once again, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. And we've got Dr. Vickers, Mike Vickers, from South Texas, from the Falfurrias area, Brooks County. And I wanted to get him on because he has been involved for a long time, my friends, in trying to address the issue of illegal immigration in South Texas. I wanted to ask him what he thinks about the recent ruling by the Supreme Court to allow SB4, the Texas law that allows local law enforcement to arrest illegal aliens and actually even to put them on a back across the border at a port of entry. What does it mean for him, the ranchers in Harris area, and the Texas Border Volunteers that he's involved with? Dr. Vickers, thank you very much for coming, for being in our on our show today. Give us your thoughts. What do you think about this this law, and how do you think it's going to get implemented? What do you think the effects will be?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, George, and I can tell you that I think it's going to be a huge game changer for protecting our state and protecting our country. And with that, over the past couple of weeks, we've had the DPS brush crews out learning the trails that we watch. They're actually going to be out with us this week. We're going to show them all these heavily trafficked trails coming up from the border. They've got drones, they've got track dogs, and these guys are giddy about it. They're ready to get to work and protect our state and our country. And I'll tell you what, it's just a great feeling. No question it's going to be a game changer. We're helping them get signed up with all the ranchers along the border that deal with this. And they're going to be a big game changer with us, and we're happy to be able to work with them. And in fact, we'll be stopping these groups or this traffic and holding them, and we'll call the brush crews. They come out and pick them up, and they're going to take them to Hebronville and Jim Hogg County, incarcerate them, and file criminal trespassing charges on them. So, they may put them in jail for 4 or 5 days, but it's going to make them think twice after we send them back about coming back again and getting caught again. So we're really excited about it. We start an op tomorrow.
How much damage have these illegal aliens that cross through your property as well as other properties in the area, other ranch properties, how much damage have they done to the properties?
George, the property damage is just staggering. And we had a big meeting about this new state Senate bill yesterday. There was probably 70 or 80 ranchers and law enforcement there here in Falfurrias from 4, 5, 6 different counties in the area about the state compensating us for property damage inflicted by all the smuggling activity. But just my property alone, since Biden took office in January of 21, I've had over $50,000 worth of fence damage to my property. One vehicle running through my front gate, destroying the front gate, fleeing Border Patrol, knocked out the electric system for opening the gate. That was about $2,500 just for that system being knocked out, and then about another $6,000 to fix the gate. So, and then my neighbor to the east and south of me just last year had an illegal alien left behind, and he started a fire, so somebody had come find him. Well, they found him, and that fire ended up burning over 60,000 acres of that ranch. fences, staggering amount of property damage, and that fire went for 12 miles south, burning other people's property as well.
It's
a huge problem for us.
It's not a question of these people just walking through your property. It's a question of the damage that they commit while they are doing that, as well as the damage they commit while they're trying to hide as well, is it not?
Well, that's exactly right. And they do things like cutting the fences where the one property owner or one rancher has cattle get into his neighbor's property. And that, my neighbor I just mentioned, the pasture next to my property is a 28,000-acre pasture by itself. And when my cattle get over there, I may not see them again for a year. So it's a huge problem, and they do that. They cut the fence, or we've had them steal tractors or bulldozers. Two years ago, they stole a bulldozer on my place, drove it through my north fence, and a bunch of my cattle got my neighbors. You know, it's just a constant problem with fences, with water sources being damaged, homes being broken into, and then the fires that I just mentioned.
Wow. Tell me a little bit about the breaking into houses, because I know that, or into homes, rather, because I know that you have a wife, and I know that there are other ranchers in the area that have wives and young children. I mean, this situation of them breaking into a home for whatever reason, I mean, you know, they are always portrayed as poor, fleeing illegal aliens looking for a better America. But entering somebody's home, how many break-ins are there?
It's real frequent, George. I've had my home broke into. They did $1,800 worth of damage to steal $3 worth of food out of the refrigerator. They walked right by a video camera and didn't touch it, but they broke the windows out, kicked the door down, did a tremendous amount of damage breaking in, and unfortunately my wife had the dogs with her out on another place, and this is what happened. But a lot of people have had their homes broken into. Just about everybody has. And you know, a lot of people in the area have left their home on the ranch and moved to McAllen or Corpus Christi or San Antonio or even further north to get away from the violence that's happening out here. Since Biden took office in January of 21, just in Brooks County alone, we have found over 262 dead bodies as of like 3 weeks ago.
Wow.
And I haven't checked to see how many since then, but a lot of those were on my property and my neighbor's property.
Wow. That is shocking. That is shocking. Before we let you go, is there anything else that you'd like to add regarding this SB4 and what you anticipate coming from?
Well, I can tell you I'm really proud of Governor Abbott for stepping up, and I'm really proud of the DPS. Those guys are just real troopers, so to speak, a little pun there, but they've got these brush crews, and we've been working with them. They were out on my property just here just a few days ago, and we've given most of the ranchers here have given them carte blanche to come out on their property to help arrest these people sneaking through, and we had six individuals that were gang members apprehended Saturday afternoon on my property, and that's the people that are coming through now. They can't give up for amnesty because they've got a criminal record either from the country they came from or from previously being deported for criminal activity here in the United States, and it's still a big problem for us.
Yeah, so they're sneaking in for a reason. It's not because it's
exactly you know, a lot of them are coming to San Antonio, and you know, a lot of them have criminal intent. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, I tell my friends that live in San Antonio, be careful. Mm-hmm. Be careful, because a lot of these people are not coming for a job. They're coming to work in drug distribution in the cities and prostitution and you name it, burglary, burglarizing homes and living off of that. So it's a huge problem. All of these people are not people coming in looking for a better life. A lot of them are coming in looking for the ability to be able to enrich themselves off of somebody else's property. And we found that out decades ago. This is our 17th year of having border operations, George, and it seems like it's just getting worse.
Yeah. Dr. Vickers, folks, we've been speaking with our good friend Dr. Mike Vickers from Brooks County in South Texas. Thank you very much for taking time to be with us, and stay safe, my friend.
Okay, well, thank you, George, and we'll give you an update after we have this op. It's probably going to last about a week or 10 days, and we're going to be working with these DPS brush crews. They're a great bunch of guys, and we'll give you a call, but it's always a pleasure to be on your program and tell the truth, George.
We'll be looking forward to that report. Have a good one, buddy.
Bye. Okay, George, thank you.
Once again, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio.
The Federation for American Immigration Reform, known as FAIR, fights to restore common sense border controls and immigration policies that work for America and its future. America's immigration system and border controls have been decimated by Washington politicians and special interests, undermining the interests and security of the American people. FAIR mobilizes grassroots activists to make sure the voices of the American people are heard in Washington. Find out more about FAIR and what we do by going to fairus.org.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. And we've got our good friend, Mr. Mark Meckler. Mark is the founder and president of the Convention of States. He has been on our show before, and I really, really value his opinion. I wanted to get him on because we have just had, Tuesday, the 19th of March, we have just learned that an Obama-appointed judge in Illinois has declared, and a district federal judge has declared, that illegal aliens, as long as they don't have a criminal record, as long as they are not in the process of committing a crime, that they can have guns, that they can own firearms, which is complete reversal from what it has been in the past, from U.S. Title 18. So I'm just kind of flabbergasted. I wanted to get Mark to come on and talk about this. Mark, welcome to the show. Thank you for taking time to be with us, buddy.
Oh, thanks for having me, and thanks for doing the great work you always do for the movement.
Oh, thank you. Tell us, what are your thoughts when you heard about this ruling in Illinois?
Yeah, look, I'm struggling with this mightily because the question to me is pretty fundamental. It's what does it mean to be a citizen? And I feel like what we're seeing slowly by the federal courts is the erasure of citizenship. It used to be something very valuable, very important. It was reserved for people who had all the characteristics of citizenship, first and foremost among them, that they were legally within the borders of the United States of America. And the idea that somebody who came here illegally, who committed a crime to get to the United States of America, now has the constitutional right under our Second Amendment to own and possess a firearm, it's just outrageous to me and undermines our basic system of constitutional jurisprudence, in my opinion.
Now, the name of our nation is the United States of America. And it would seem to me like an effort to globalize our nation means that the ceasing of states, and by that I mean getting rid of state citizenship, I guess. What are your thoughts on that?
I do think this is what the globalists have in mind. This has been the plan of the leftists and the Marxists for the United States of America for a very long time. You know, something that people used to think was a conspiracy theory, but they really are looking for a one-world government, a government without borders, We've seen a precursor to this in the EU, where the EU essentially has no borders between its member nations. They're required to have open borders. There's a lot of authority in the EU Parliament that is outside of the individual member nations. And I think that's where they're pushing the United States. They want us to join this one world, and they want to have control over our system of governance.
Now, as president and founder of the Convention of States, where do you see this open borders issue with the Biden administration? I mean, it's open borders on steroids. It's been where are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, look, I think this fits into this discussion perfectly because this is all part of the broader plan to undermine the sovereignty of the United States of America. It sounds cliche to say it. It's cliche because it's a truism, which is that when you have no borders, you have no country. And so when they fling these borders open and everybody's entitled to come in no matter who they are, we have no idea who they are. We don't know what their records are. We don't know if they're going to be valuable or detrimental to the United States of America. Then you have no country. So that is clearly the plan of the Biden administration and more long term of the leftists in America.
How can these folks justify the constitutional rights, particularly the Bill of Rights, extending to people who are not even citizens? I'm not sure how that works.
Look, I think the way that they do this, it's clever, in my opinion. The way that they always do this is on the idea, just sort of the general philosophy of that, look, we should be warm-hearted and open-hearted towards everybody. The people who are coming here are just looking for opportunity. And then we all just as sort of fundamentally as citizens of the United States think, well, you know, we have constitutional rights. These are fundamental rights. And so how would we deprive anybody of those rights? I think that's the way that they sell this to the American people. It's a fundamental misunderstanding of the bargain that we make as citizens of the United States, but they sell it on being sort of good-hearted, warm-hearted people.
Now, a final question, because along with this, with this news of this federal judge up in Illinois, we also heard from the Supreme Court that they are not going to interfere with the SB4, with Texas's law to arrest illegal aliens. Since obviously the federal government is not, the Biden administration hasn't lifted a finger to protect our state. Our state is protecting our state. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, I think this is one that I want to be cautious on. I'm a lawyer and a constitutional lawyer. I don't think this is a big win for either side. This is a temporary procedural maneuver. That litigation is still going to be messy. It's really a temporary step, which ultimately expedites a final ruling. So now this is going to go back to the Fifth Circuit, and the Fifth Circuit is likely to rule in favor of Texas, is my opinion. Allowing them to enforce SB4, but that will be also then immediately appealable to the Supreme Court. And I think the Supreme Court is going to take this back and make a final ruling on it. And this goes straight at a case of U.S. v. Arizona, about 10 years old, from the United States Supreme Court, which basically said states can't enforce immigration law. And so I think we're going to revisit the Supreme Court in the next 60 days, is my guess.
In conclusion, tell the folks where they can follow you. Tell them about Convention of States and how they can support or participate if they want.
Sure. They can follow me at conventionofstates.com. And what we're trying to do is take the power away from the federal government using Article 5 of the Constitution. And we're going to give it back to the people and the states. I know all of your listeners are in favor of that. They can go to conventionofstates.com, sign up, hit the Take Action tab, get involved. And they can follow me personally on Twitter at Mark Meckler.
Excellent. Thank you very much for taking time to be with us, folks. We've been listening to our good friend, Mr. Mark Meckler, founder and president of the Convention of States. Mark, keep up the good work, and thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you, George.
Once again, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. And we've got one of my very, very good friends, Miss Sabine Darden Coulter. And Sabine, I have gotten to know her over the past years because she's been very, very involved as an angel mama, a person who has lost a child to an illegal alien, to a murder, some death related to illegal aliens being in the United States. However, I wanted to get her on for two reasons. Not only to talk about that and the recent murder in Georgia, but Sabine came to the United States legally from Germany. And Sabine, welcome to the show. Thank you for being with us.
Well, hi, George. It's such an honor to be with you again.
Oh, thank you very much. Tell us, first of all, what are your thoughts right now as a legal citizen coming, how long it took you to come to the United States, and now how you're watching all these people walking through.
Right. It took almost a year to get my paperwork to come here and then 6 years to become a citizen. But how I feel about the legal immigration versus illegal immigration and invasion that's happening now, I couldn't use all the words on here. You would get bleeped and booed from every... I was married to my late son's dad. He was in the military, and when he got orders to come to the United States, I had to apply for paperwork to come here, to live here, to come here with my son. And it took about 8 to 12 months, lots of money, lots of medical testing, lots of background check, having to fill out that I have a sponsor in the States, that I have money to take care of myself. And my now ex, he then left, came to the States, and I had to wait for paperwork. So we were separated, a family separated because of bureaucratics. But I did get my paperwork, and I came to the States in 1989. And as soon as I knew this was going to be my home, I no longer wanted to carry the resident alien card. I wanted to be an American citizen and prove my worth to being here and contribute just like my son did. So it's, again, a lot of medical checking, a lot of paperwork, lots of money again. And then February in 1996, and I still see it. It was at the LA Convention Center. My mom was there, and she watched me become an American citizen. And when we were sworn in, we were told that we are, how did he put it? He said, you have not been born here, but you did everything to become an American citizen. And it's still, besides the birth of my son, that was one of the most profound moments in my life. You know?
Wow. Yes. I can just imagine. Now, this situation that we recently saw in Georgia, where in a sanctuary community, this girl was murdered, and then they find out that the guy, the murderer's brother, is also in the United States illegally.
Right.
When you see that, having experienced what you've experienced, I mean, not only the legal process, but these people are known criminals that have crossed. What are your thoughts?
Of course.
How do you feel?
When I first saw the news about her being killed, I looked at my husband and my illegal alien radar went up, and I told him, I said, I pray to God that this was not an illegal alien. Because what that tells me, all the other deaths before her, before Dominic, and after, they are 100% preventable. And my heart ripped wide open again. The memories from when we found out by a phone call that Dominic was killed in July 2012, it all comes back. So you go through this PTSD, you know what the family feels, you know the pain that they go through, and that life will never ever be the same for them. While the illegal alien who killed her, there are so many killers out there that we don't know of. There's no background check when they come across the border like they did with us coming in legally. There's so much the news is hiding. They call him a Houston man, and usually it's an illegal.
Yeah.
And then I hear people, you know, Judge, I hear people say, well, not every illegal is bad. And I give you that. Not.
Yes.
I said they are not.
I like that.
But
I always like
they still
that.
Here illegally.
Illegally. What does the word illegal mean? Yeah.
Right. So there's no excuse. And I don't care if you come from Germany illegally. Any country, any age, it has to stop. And when I then hear, well, Americans commit more crimes, I yawn because it's such an insane argument. There should we can't help to have American criminals. They have a right to be here. Illegal aliens don't. So we should have zero crime by illegal aliens because they have no right to be here. Get in line, come in the right way, and that's that.
It's just amazing this mindset that we have to deal with. Now, don't get upset, but what was your thought? What was your thought when you heard President Biden apologize for using the term illegal alien or illegal?
I'm stuffing a sock in my mouth right now. I was so dumbfounded because I always, when he says something insane or stupid or insulting, I think, okay, that's it. And then he does something even better than that. What an insult to even bring that up. And he apologizes for calling them illegal. Well, that's what they are per books. You can name them newcomers. You can put a little bow on it and a little sprinkle of glitter. They are still illegal aliens. And to show that kind of sympathy towards that, that's why they keep coming in by the millions. They know we are now being pushed into the shadows. While they can purchase guns, they can become police officers, they hardly get anything, any consequences for their crimes, like the guy who killed Dominic. He got a misdemeanor with 9 months and 5 year probation, and he served 35 days.
Incredible.
35 days. So the crime and the consequences are, the crime is there, the consequences are not. They're laughing at us. They are costing us about $450 billion plus dollars a year. They're getting services that our own Americans in need cannot get or have such a hard time getting. And if people don't wake up soon and start speaking about it and stop being worried about being called racist, because illegal is not a race, the next generations won't have an America. There's nobody coming to save us.
That's right. That's right. Yep.
And the next generations, your children, your grandchildren, deserve so much better.
Now, this past election primary season that we just went through, in the Super Tuesday primary, the number one question or the number one issue that people all the way up to New Hampshire and Virginia, New York, were saying that was on their mind was the issue of immigration. And CNN and MSNBC made fun of it. You know, the liberal media made fun of it. But do you think that people are beginning to see that illegal immigration is a problem?
Yes, I truly believe it because, now, George, you have been this for many, many years. You've been a outspoken person. You have no fear. You go out there and share what you know about it. We plant seeds. I've been doing this almost 12 years. We plant seeds and talk about it and talk about it, sometimes yell about it. But I think somewhere it's starting to pick up because people are now feeling it in their state. Because before it was, it's just El Paso, it's just Del Rio. No, it is every corner, every little inch of America that has illegals there. People know about it, and it's getting to our wallets. They're closing schools to house illegals. Well, if that doesn't wake you up, in Chicago, New York, yes, they're waking up because it's in their face.
Yep. That is so true. People are very, very upset about that. Let me ask you this last question before we let you go. But the situation that we are seeing at the local level, with the defund the police, and then on top of that, giving illegals what it seems like more rights. I mean, Minnesota is going to give illegals a universal income. They're going to give them automatically income of $500.
Oh, isn't that special? Isn't that wonderful?
Do you think that legal immigration is going to ever be respected again?
If it doesn't change, and if we don't get Trump in, I don't think it will. Mm. I think there will be no more legal versus illegal. It will be all blended in, like they're trying to do with the words newcomer, undocumented, migrant, words that really set me off because it's such a blatant lie. I'm worried that if people just sit home on their computer and type something, oh, that's too bad, and then go on about their business, it will get bad. But I keep a little bit of faith, and that's what kept me going since my son's death, that people will eventually, and they have to actually, call their representatives, go to school board meetings, go to city hall meetings, speak about it. Don't be shy. Don't... How can I... I'm so... distraught by what I see and how many families I'm talking to that went through the same as I did with Dominic. We fight, you and I, George, and there are many out there that fight so they don't have to. But it's really high time people don't just sit on Facebook and Twitter and talk about it, but actually talk to their neighbors, their friends, in church, everywhere. Because we're at a point where some of the school classes, in even kindergarten, first grade, you have one American-speaking child and the rest need translators.
Yep.
So if you don't think it affects you really all that much, go to an emergency room.
Yep.
And see how much longer you have to wait.
Yep.
Or why you have to pay so much for something, because now we share resources with people who never put a dime in.
Yep.
Veterans can't get the VA approval because they're taking care of illegals. So if people are not enough upset about this, then I don't know what would wake them up, but then... thank God there are still some who will actually say, you know what, I owe my grandchild that I stand up and speak. It's not easy, but there are things we can do. We can call D.C. and tell them no amnesty. Takes
That's
you
right.
2 minutes.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Sabine, we're going to let you go. We're going to need to let you go, but thank you very, very much for taking time to be with us. I appreciate it.
Always
very,
with
very,
you,
much.
George.
Sending you a big
Thank
hug.
You, so much.
You take care.
Yes, I take a dumb hug.
Until
take
next
care.
Time.
You folks, got it.
Folks, we've been speaking with my good friend, Miss Sabine Darden-Coulter, and she is wonderful. Till next time, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. Once again, my friends, thank you for joining us on our show today. I want to thank our guests, Chris Hayek from the Immigration Reform Law Institute, Mr. Mike Vickers, South Texas Rancher, Mr. Mark Meckler, who is the founder and president of the Convention of States, and Sabine Darden-Coulter, dear friend and angel mom. These folks are fantastic. These folks are great. I also need to mention, as far as Mike Vickers go, that he is affiliated and works very closely with the Texas Border Volunteers. They are a great outfit, my friends. The Texas Border Volunteers. Check them out. Before we go, though, I have got to vent a little bit. I have got to get something off of my chest, and that is this ridiculous, evil behavior by illegal aliens in El Paso in rushing our border and demanding to come in. Imagine that situation, my friends, where you've got foreigners demanding to enter your country, rushing it. In my opinion, my friends, that's an invasion. In my opinion, that's tantamount to Germany invading Poland or Russia in sending in the tanks into Hungary. I mean, that's what that is all about. These people who nobody invited, well, I guess maybe Biden did, but these people who are coming without papers, without invitation to our borders, and then demanding to come inside, to enter our country, enter it at their will, not ours, at their will. What is wrong with that picture, my friends? And what is wrong with the Democrats that allow it, that excuse it, that want us to tolerate it? Don't they understand that if you tolerate a little bit of bad behavior, you're going to get a lot more and a lot worse? And if we allow this to happen in El Paso, my friends, it's going to happen all up and down the river and the border. It's going to happen everywhere. People are going to rush the border because they can. And you know, what was very frustrating to watch was how calm and cool and controlled the Texas National Guard was. Heavens, if somebody behaved like that anywhere else, they would be shot. They would be shot. And then, of course, the UN would have to step in and mediate the situation. My friends, the third world is not our friend, including Mexico. Yes, yes, I am a person of color, so to speak. But I guarantee that my culture, my heart, are American. And this is the problem that we've got. We've got people in charge that hate America and use the race card. And we've got people in the United Nations and in other countries that use the race card to attack, belittle, and invade the United States. My friends, it is absolutely outrageous, and we must not tolerate it. We must not tolerate it. Imagine if somebody busted into your house and demanded to come in. What would you do? Imagine that. Imagine somebody busting into your home and demanding to stay there, and then making, of course, other demands. They want food, they want water, they want health, education, they want everything. My friends, we cannot tolerate this. We must put our foot down and not let this incident go. This is a typical incident thanks to the Biden administration and the Democrats, the liberals. Remember that. We've got to do something about that. So, without further ado, thank you once again, my friends, for joining us this Saturday. Join us again next week when we'll have another show and we'll provide more information for you about the border crisis and illegal immigration. Until then, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio.
The Federation for American Immigration Reform, known as FAIR, fights to restore common sense border controls and immigration policies that work for America and its future. America's immigration system and border controls have been decimated by Washington politicians and special interests, undermining the interests and security of the American people. FAIR mobilizes grassroots activists to make sure the voices of the American people are heard in Washington. Find out more about FAIR and what we do by going to fairus.org.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.